Minute Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this March the 26th on the West Coast, now March the 27th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zones. We'd like to welcome all those listening in tonight on Wind Talkers Radio Network around the world, especially those in the U.S. military, and also on Blog Talk Radio.com on the internet. Well, lots going on. You figure it out. I sure can't. This world is getting crazier by the second. Crazier by the second. That's about all I can say. Heard a lot of talk today about the fact that this 2,700-page document that's being called the Health Act is basically 2,500 pages or so of everything else but your health. They should call it the Slave Act and say that there's a portion in there that deals with health issues such as extorting money out of you so the insurance companies know that they have money to play with on Wall Street. That's basically all it is. It's about money. It has nothing to do with your health, as we've said on past shows. If it did have to do with your health, they wouldn't be putting fluorides in the water, toxins in your food and medicines, and they certainly wouldn't be contaminating your skies with chemtrails, would they? They wouldn't be polluting the airwaves like they do with microwaves, the Gwen Towers, and beaming people with electromagnetic radiation from satellites. And all the other sadistic things that they do. That's what healthcare is about, folks. It's insane what's going on today, and yet we're going to rise above that, and we're going to talk about our research into certain people on the planet and other beings that are on the planet. And with that, I want to welcome back my good friend, who is an author, a lecturer and a teacher, but most of all, he's a scientist and inventor, and he's our resident science advisor here on Evident Footprints. My good friend and yours, hopefully, Mr. Jim Murray. Jim, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Don. I enjoy being here. That's quite a build-up, and yes, I have heard a great deal this week also about this ridiculous document, and you know, the interesting thing about it, regardless of what all is embedded in those pages, and I'm sure there's everything in there but the kitchen sink, as you well know, the most outrageous thing is that it's essentially a tool for extortion, because I think it's $1,500 a quarter or something like that you have to pay for this ridiculous healthcare program. And if you don't subscribe to it, you can be jailed for some kind of a crime. I don't know what they're going to call it. You know, failure to succumb to extortion, I guess.
Yeah, but, failure to pay shakedown money is what it's called in the mob world.
Yeah. But I think they actually label it as a felony if you refuse the plan. Now, if this doesn't bring Americans out of the woodwork, then nothing's gonna.
Well, for several years, Jim, you and I have been talking on the show, darn near 3 years, and we've been talking about the pathological liars in politics and in government and in all the bureaucracies. And it's certainly an organized crime ring of international proportions. I'm sure you would agree with me, knowing the corruption going on in the banking system, right?
Absolutely.
So what else can we expect? I mean, this is a shakedown. You know, they happen to be showing the Untouchables on TV today, you know, Al Capone. I mean, it's like watching the news, watching this movie. You know, what these guys are doing is just like the organized crime figures of the 1920s and 30s. But they never stop.
It's funny you should reference the 1920s and 30s, because the article I read this morning about the health care bill said that essentially Hitler used the exact same strategy to get himself going. And apparently he had a health care bill of some sort, and this thing was modeled very closely after that. Are you aware of that?
Yes, yes. Please expound on that a bit, if you would, for our listeners.
Well, I don't know too much about the health care bill of Hitler's, but I do know about other things that he did, which are in the works right now also. And, of course, the most obvious one was the confiscation of firearms. And the only good thing about that is that we've been warning, and other people have been warning, the nation for years about the perils that will evolve once the nation is disarmed. And in the last year and a half, sales of bullets and firearms of every description are right off the charts. And the people that I've talked to about it said that they don't have any qualms about using what they've purchased. Now, I don't know if that's just talk or if when the chips are down, they're going to really be serious and do that, you know. But I wouldn't be surprised if you see Nazi tactics being brought to bear when it comes to that subject. I don't think that you're going to have any kind of an organized voluntary give up your firearms arrangement. I think that they're going to find out who's got the firearms, first of all, by the lists of registries, and then they're going to come and knock on your door at 2:00 in the morning and just take the stuff away. And they'll go, you know, one by one and do this, because everything they do is in a cowardly fashion. And the only thing I can say is the two nations that I know of that were disarmed, England was one, and Australia was the other. And the people were stupid enough to give up their firearms voluntarily, at least for the most part. And within 1 year after having gone through that, crime rates were up something like 1,200%. Which is a pretty darn big jump for 1 year. And everybody was so astonished. Oh, how can there be so much crime? Well, it's partially because of the fact that the criminals didn't give up their weapons. And why should they? Only the law-abiding citizens become suckered into this this whole plan. So that's my comment on that situation. I don't think we should fall for it.
No, we shouldn't. And you know, you have a government that's armed, and of course, those that protect them or do their bidding are the organized crime element, extension of who they are. You know, there's really no difference between the two. They like to call themselves politicians. They're drug dealers. They're pedophiles. They're human traffickers, amongst other things. They're murderers. They're going around the planet creating wars, murdering millions of innocent people, and using technology on them. And, you know, I want to, not that I want to harp on all the negativity, we all know what's going on. But for the purpose of this conversation and any new listeners, it bears mentioning so that we put the things that we're going to talk about into context. Because, you know, a species doesn't turn on itself like this. It has to be something other than what most people think it is. And there's been a lot of recent talk, and I'm going to preface this by sharing with you a conversation that I had with a good friend yesterday. We were talking about what's going on, and at one point in the conversation, I said, you know, what's become very evident to me, and that's not a pun because of the name of the show here. It's just, it became evident. I didn't see any footprints, okay? That this cabal, this New World Order cabal that's been ruling this planet for the past 13,000 years is not collapsing. It has collapsed. It has collapsed. And I would actually say that they've been hanging on since at least 1933. When they took the gold from Americans, when they made it a crime in 1934 for anyone to have gold, when they went into emergency rule or emergency law in all the districts of the country, down to the local city council levels or the town councils, where they said, we passed this ordinance number XYZ. Under emergency, in declaring an emergency is how they say it. In declaring an emergency. What emergency? The emergency.
It was their emergency.
Yeah, well, yes, of course. But they're pertaining to this decree in 1935 that the nation was under emergency rule or emergency law. Everything had to be in an emergency, you see, and that shifted everything over to the power of the federal government, illegally, mind you. This was not a lawful act by any means. You know, you had traitorous presidents over and over, infiltrators, kowtowing to organizations like the Israeli Mossad, for example. And they used the CIA here in this country. Before that, it was the OSS. But when it became the CIA after World War II, and that was set up many, many years prior to that. I discussed that in my research, the Deathbed Confessions article about the Federal Reserve, Circuit Chautauqua, Nikola Tesla, and the Scherf family masquerading as the Bushes. I discussed all of that and brought forth a lot of information that had never really been tied together, and certainly Circuit Chautauqua was one of the means through which they infiltrated our country many, many years before Operation Paperclip, which occurred after the war. The same people were involved. John Foster Dulles and Randolph Churchill were here in the United States traveling around with a socialization program that toured like a circus around the country with orators and preachers and entertainers, musicians, singers, And every kind of circus act you can imagine. And this was deemed wholesome for the society. So we have this history. This went on. I wasn't around then. Jim, you weren't around then. And probably most of our listeners weren't around then. But certainly there are some people listening that actually participated in those events. So one of the guys that was directly involved in some of the activities that took place in World War II and created Winston Churchill, Randolph Churchill, was there, here in this country, traveling around the country with a bunch of Nazis. And John Foster Dulles, brother of Alan Dulles, who ended up being the front man for the first division of the CIA, which was born out of the OSS and infiltrated with Nazi spies. Wasn't about Nazi scientists. They brought those scientists in, put them in Lawrence Livermore Labs, Oak Ridge in Tennessee, NASA, and probably at every Ford laboratory in the country, wherever we had them, on the ground or underground, because the Germans had underground bases. What would make these people act like hivers? You know, it would have to be a society of hivers ruling them. And you know what I'm getting at, Jim.
Yeah, I can see where it's going. Well, the thing of it is, and I mean, I wish I had detailed information about all this, but, you know, it's pretty hard to come by as far as actually getting a hold of, you know, literal descriptive texts, as it were, about these critters. But the thing that's interesting, of course, is that as far back as you can go in both mythology, legend, and even some aspects of recorded history, there are endless descriptions of so-called demons and devils and all these other things. And if you really stop and think about it and put the descriptions together, they all have things in common, you know? And I often have wondered if what those legends and folklore are describing might not just be the elusive reptilians that are always lurking in the shadows, always behind everything that goes on here.
Mm-hmm. You know, Dr. H. Ruat has been doing a series of shows on Peter Moon's new book, Transylvania Sunrise. And,
I haven't heard of that.
Oh, yeah. It's very new. And he had he's interviewed Peter on this topic and read his book. I haven't read the book, but I've heard the interviews. And I notice that this recent research I've been doing, a lot of this genealogical research, keeps pointing to Austria-Hungary, Romania, and Peter Moon writes about a sphinx found in Romania in a tunnel that connects the sphinx in Romania to the sphinx in Egypt. What do you think of that?
That's a lot of tunneling.
Why would they need a sphinx in either place, do you think?
Well, now that's an interesting thing. Did they happen to describe what this sphinx looked like?
Well, I haven't seen a picture of it, but it's supposed to look like the one in Egypt.
Well, let me tell you something interesting about the sphinx. And this is fairly recently disclosed information. Everybody has heard the story that the sphinx is half lion and half man. But as it turns out, the most recent research, and this is about the Egyptian sphinx, of course, discloses the interesting fact that the anatomical proportions and shapes associated with the so-called feline aspects of the sphinx in no way whatsoever can possibly represent a lion. And further, what was discovered was that the most ancient documents that go back to the first dynasty and before refer to the Sphinx as a monument to Anubis. And Anubis was the guardian of the underworld, which was essentially a wild dog. And you know, the deserts have these wild dogs that roam around, and they eat up their scavengers. They eat up things that die. And so that became synonymous with certain aspects of death. And the Giza complex, in its most ancient form, around the pyramids, was a large necropolis, as you probably know. And so the most recent conclusions, which are now backed up by various documents that have been translated from the most ancient Egyptian times till the present, and also by actual hieroglyphs that have been found, indicate that originally the Sphinx was a large dog, if you will, an Anubis figure. And they have traced the the actual Pharaoh who decided to change the face. Now, whether or not the rock gave way and the muzzle of the dog fell off or what, who knows? But the fact of the matter is that it was then re-chiseled in this guy's actual proportions and, you know, reflecting his physiognomy. So the reason I bring this up is not only because it's interesting, but it would be very interesting if the Sphinx that you just mentioned recently found in this tunnel in Transylvania, Romania, or wherever, had the same face on it as this other one, because that would date how old some of this activity is on the planet. Now, the recarving of the Sphinx, I don't remember the exact date that they came up with, but I think it was the 5th or 6th dynasty. I can check on that. But anyway, it was still a pretty long time ago. So, you know, if the facial features of this other thing are the same, that's a heck of a thing, because you wouldn't have thought that there'd be any sort of social intercourse between Egypt, of all places, and Romania, or Transylvania, especially back in those days.
Well, there's even, according, if I recall what Peter Moon said, there's also a tunnel that connects with the mountains of Tibet as well. Now, on past shows, and I'm certain you and I even talked about this, maybe about a month ago we got into a discussion about the Khazarians, the wannabe Jews, and that they originated from the Bon, and they ended up migrating to Mongolia. So the Bon became the Mon, and as they worked their way towards Israel, where they became pseudo-Judeans, okay, pseudo, I say, but being the Khazars, they were in Turkey also, okay? So they went from Mongolia, they migrated to Turkey, then they migrated to the region of Palestine, and, you know, oh, we're the lost tribe. That's what they've done wherever they've gone. Basically, from what I understand, the research I've done, Genghis Khan kicked them out of Mongolia, didn't want anything to do with them. And most countries in Europe kicked them out. However, these were really the reptilians in disguise. And so they set up this system of economy, world economy, through the banking system, creating money out of thin air and charging for it, financing wars and reaping the proceeds, paying off a few people for participation. Thank you. Wham, bam. Thank you, ma'am. Okay, we'll see you next time. And they've done this throughout history. Of course, they involved the Vatican. They involved certain royalty in various parts of Europe and other parts of the world. But they eventually became connected with the Moors also. Now, the Moors were into these cat symbols, which is very similar to what you see in a Sphinx. And then you had the Mormons right here in the United States. Joseph Smith founded that. But you see, these secret societies are all involved. Joseph Smith happened to have found these golden tablets and had a background in New York. Is that a coincidence that Montauk is on Long Island? Mon. Again, we have the Mon, you see. So this connection is in what these people call themselves and what they name certain places that they settle in. Is it a coincidence that the Nazis had a submarine base at Montauk? Underwater submarine base. And I've gotten email from people that read my research to tell me that it looked like a forest of antennas. when those submarines would surface off the coast at night when they thought nobody could see them. It's amazing, the connection. So we know Rockefeller, David Rockefeller, is absolutely obsessed with anything to do with Egypt. And that tied into that recent article I wrote, I told you about the creation of an usurper, a crash course. Gotten a lot of hits.
Oh, yeah.
Gotten, just in a couple of days, got quite a few hits. The word is getting out. Basically, it's a compendium of who the long-legged Mac Daddy is. But I have to make a correction now, Jim. Been doing some studying, and he's really not all that tall. So I'm going to have to start calling him the short-legged Mac Daddy.
Yeah, if he's not careful, his legs are going to get a lot shorter.
Yeah, we've seen some video and pictures where he's wearing 3-inch heels on occasion. And I saw a recent picture yesterday where he's, it's actually quite a funny picture that was sent to me by a famous actor. And he's got flat shoes on, and there's a little girl in the picture, and he's not all that much taller than that little girl. They made sure he was the tallest one in the photo, but we're going to call him the short-legged Mac Daddy, not out of disrespect to Pastor James David Manning, though. Anyway, I don't mean to digress. So there's a connection. Now, don't you find it interesting, too, that that there's this sudden interest in Indonesia? Why is that? A lot of that's been revealed in my research. Most people are ignorant of that because they got everybody looking at Hawaii and Kenya, but this recent article I wrote totally debunks that. There's no point in that dialectical argument continuing anymore. The issue is Indonesia and Southeast Asia and now Romania. And it's not a coincidence that Eisenhower was from that region. Absolutely no coincidence whatsoever. This was to facilitate this coup that's occurring on in our government. And what kind of beings orchestrate that?
Well, we know that this is not new. I mean, the same pattern has been utilized over and over and over again throughout history. And the interesting thing is, as many times as there have been revolts and uprisings, you know, for the people just get fed up and decide that they want a better share of freedom in their lives, they never seem to wipe them all out. You know, it's a very similar thing to the cockroaches. No matter how many traps you put down or how much poison you sprinkle around or how much you spray, there's always a few of them that are left over to start the regrouping process. It's amazing how resilient these people are.
Yeah, well, I wanted to bring that up. Now, what may interest the listening audience, too, is that, you know, I've gotten a lot of positive email from this. Just, it's a sort of a primer, but it's a synopsis of all that research. And I get these emails from intelligence agents. You know, explain to me how you found this and how did you discover this? And, you know, all I can say is read the articles. It's all in there. Okay? You give them a condensed version so that they can understand everything and people don't have to spend hours reading this stuff because it's several years of research.
Well, why would you want to help them at all?
Well, go ahead, Jim. Go ahead.
Well, that's really all I had to say. I mean, I don't want to get too, you know, too derogatory here on the air, but you know, my feelings are not exactly high and lofty for these people. Well,
yeah.
I wouldn't give them the time of day.
No, but I, you know, one guy asked me a question about the Bank of Hawaii, and I did research. In fact, I found the bank's own records about who was the director of the bank and how it changed hands to Smith Kline Pharmaceuticals. and Charles Reed Bishop, and I mentioned Madeline Dunham, and this guy wants me to change what I wrote, and you know, and he's not disputing whether Obama was made with Cleopatra's DNA and Michael Rockefeller's seed. He's mad about what I said about the bank. You know, it's ridiculous. He's going to nitpick and try to get my goat over that. Okay. And I have ways of dealing with those types, too, because I know a lot more about the guy than he thinks I do. And I'm prepared to write a piece. He's gotten to where he's vitriolic and threatening. Okay. So I know that telling him I don't have time to waste on his pettiness is, you know, I'm busy. Basically, I was very polite. I didn't say it's petty. Basically, what I said was, I'm too busy to even get into this argument with you. Read the research. And, you know, do people do that? No, they want to jump to conclusions. They want to listen to what everybody else is saying instead of discovering the truth for themselves. And I never ask people to believe what I'm saying or believe what I'm writing. If you have trouble with the information, do some research. If you're listening to the show and you don't like what we say, then turn the knob. I've said that, and I know other talk show hosts that say the same thing. Drew Raines says that. We're bringing the truth, and it's truth that is coming out all over the planet because their system has collapsed. That's what I was mentioning before. Their system has absolutely collapsed, and they're just desperate and fearful because they know that what is coming is going to be their end, their absolute downfall. They know this. And we can move into that space. But, however, we have to recognize who we're dealing with here, too. It's a lot of
well,
people.
I agree with you full heartedly. As a matter of fact, my own sources have been keeping me abreast of some of these developments. And what's really exciting, and I hope that they find a way to do this, that $400 billion that was left over from the stimulus package that just up and vanished has now been traced and has been located in 135 separate accounts sprinkled around Europe.
Amen.
And it's in everybody's name from the president on down. And now they're making arrangements to release that information to the general public. And all these rats are just churning because they're afraid of what might happen if that ever gets out. Well, it's too damn bad. But I think it needs to get out. You can't keep on hiding this stuff. This is exactly why they propagate. It's exactly why we still have the same problems. It's because it's never gotten to the bottom of. So I don't know how they're going to publish this information, considering the fact that we don't have a reliable media. But from what I heard, it's going to be leaked. And it's going to be done in a very thoughtful manner. So it should be very interesting to see what the outcome of that is.
That's a new one, a thoughtful manner. Who decided that?
Well, what I mean is it's well thought out, and it's going to be difficult to squelch. You know.
Oh, you mean how they're going to release it? I'm sort of thinking like they're going to leak it in a way that we don't notice it, like everything else they do. Whether they put it in their face or not, you know.
There'd be no purpose in leaking it if that was the case.
Yeah. Well, I'm familiar with that. I'm glad you brought that up because that centers on another topic that we've been talking about, and that's this massive financial corruption. Now they're talking about it on mainstream radio, basically saying, you know, I used to think $1 million was a lot of money, and when I heard a billion, I couldn't comprehend what that is. Do you know that besides the fact that it takes 31,710 years to count to a trillion, a second at a time. So it would take you that long to count $1 trillion if they were dollar bills. Now, if you stacked $1 trillion on top of each other, it would reach 67 miles, a pile 67 miles high. $1 trillion.
Well, that's not surprising, but you know, the thing about these huge numbers, the trillions that we're into in this country alone is only a drop in the bucket. I mean, if you look at the total amount of all of the fraud and corruption and the banking derivatives and everything else, and the fact that this has been, the U.S. was used as kind of a blueprint, and then it was propagated all over the place under the so-called guise of democracy and associated capitalism. The fact of the matter is that the total numbers are in the septillions, and maybe even higher. You know, it's beyond comprehension.
I had heard from a private source some months ago that the total amount of money that's actually out there around the world, whether it's, when I say out there, I mean it's somewhere where somebody knows where it is and they could get it and they could count it. You'd have to put 45 zeros after it. That's the amount of money that we're talking about. I have no idea what that is. You know, what the term for that is. I don't have
a
calculation. Oodles?
No, a Google.
Oh, a Google. Yeah.
Actually, a Google is defined as 10 raised to the 100th power, I believe. And so it's not quite a Google, but it's an awful lot.
Well, Google or an oodle, it's a lot, right?
Oh. There's oodles and oodles of it.
Oodles of Googles. How's that? What, you know, we're dealing with all these dichotomies and we're dealing with all these supranormal things. And I think, some things are really not all that, implausible when you consider the vastness of the universe. I was speculating today that maybe the real reason that they blew up bombs at the end of World War II, you know, they nuked Nagasaki and Hiroshima. The real reason for that was not about stopping the war, because I understand that Japan had already offered to surrender. And I think they wanted to use that opportunity to open up the time-space continuum. They wanted to tear the fabric of the universe so that they could get into time travel. They wanted to see what would happen. Now, what beings would do that? Would the average human want to do something like that, Jim?
Well, you know, this leads us right back to our discussion with the super colliders. I mean, I don't understand this this preoccupation with tempting fate. You know, I mean, if these guys really think that that's so great, they should all go out and buy pistols and play Russian roulette all day.
Some of them probably do.
After all, they would have they would have much more interesting results and in a shorter amount of time. And bullets are relatively cheap. Why would you want to spend, you know, billions of dollars on a collider, you know, that may open up a black hole in your neighborhood or some of these other insane things that they do, like renting the fabric of time or whatever? I mean, I think that the way the world used to be was just fine. I wish they'd leave it alone. But, you know, we've discussed it on other shows that they have this God complex. And, you know, they're all out to prove how high and mighty they are. But in reality, they don't prove a thing, because once you become the biggest bully on the planet, what's left to do after that? I don't think any of them can create life. I don't think any of them know how the universe works. None of them have God consciousness, that's for sure. So what have they achieved? They only set themselves up for failure, because sooner or later, even if they were lucky enough to literally take over the planet like they want to do and establish this new world order thing, the problem with doing that is that as soon as it's done, the cat is out of the bag for sure. You know, right now there's a lot of people that their own defense to that, to accepting that possibility is, oh, don't be ridiculous. Nobody wants to do that. Nobody can do that. But if, in fact, it was achieved, you wouldn't have any people saying that anymore. Within a very short period of time, everybody would realize that it was all true. It always had been true. And the interesting thing is that they would now have a complete shift in the way they regard all this stuff. Now, most people would say, oh, well, it'll be too late by then. But I disagree. Once it's in the consciousness and people realize they've been duped, that's when revolutions start. So I don't see how, even if they were to achieve their objective, that they would ever hold on to it. It's only a question of time. And that's been proven thousands and thousands of times throughout all of history. And I doubt very much that anything has changed significantly enough that the outcome of this mess is going to be any different.
No, and this is not the only place in the universe that this level of depravity and evil exists. This is all over the universe, Jim, as you well know yourself. But I would
There's also good sprinkled around the universe, too. Otherwise, you'd have one heck of a mess.
Oh, sure. Sure. Absolutely. But the point I'm making is, you know, they talk about, well, you know, we're looking for life. We launched the satellite. We put a record with Michael Jackson and Elvis Presley and who else? Mantovani. And that's sort of tongue-in-cheek there. You know,
but I hope they didn't forget Prince.
Yeah. Well, you know, this is their idea of selling us idolatry, that they're going to put all these superstars, these celebrities, on a disc and send that out into space, and that's the consciousness of the planet. That's what we've achieved after 450,000 years on this planet is a record. And those most of those people are all dead, you know? They made sure of that. And when those visitors that find that documentation, I mean, this is the crap that they feed us. Do you think somebody's out there looking for that satellite that they put up there? Looking for those artifacts? You know, we don't really even know that they launched that thing. You know, it could be sitting in somebody's backyard or in their recreation room in the basement, for all we know. You know? The preposterous stuff that they feed us. Like, that is what you want to present to a society from another planet, somewhere else in the solar system or somewhere else in the galaxy? Is that mindlessness? Of course, they're, you know, if they've been following things that have been happening here, they're going to know that Michael Jackson, oh, hey, this is a singing, dancing pedophile, this guy, who they murdered. You know,
well,
and they did the same thing to Elvis Presley, too, with pills.
there's probably space buoys all around the planet up there beaming out messages saying, danger, do not land here.
That didn't stop the reptilians and the greys, did it?
Well, of course, but that's another story. They're the ones created the myth.
Yes, exactly. Oh, it's almost comical, really, in a way. I mean, that we have to talk about this.
But well, I think a lot of people probably just think it's a spin on sensationalism, you know, that this is a new angle. And, it's an interesting way of, I don't know what you would want to say, refocusing the blame on somebody that's off-world, for instance. But if you really stop and think about it, it's not that far out. And you know what I've been contemplating for quite some time is, it's like any other type of colonial situation, really. If you go back and you look at the plundering, for instance, that was done by Spain all throughout the New World, California, Mexico, Central America, South America, you know, any place that they found anything that glittered in the sand, they would literally burn and steal and murder, do whatever they had to do to get another gold coin. But after they had the hoard, they would always transport it back to the seat of operations, which in those particular times was at least with the King of Spain. Now, the reason I'm mentioning this is, if you look at these activities that are going on here as truly being orchestrated by an off-world power, it would be relatively pointless to just have people here running the earth, or creatures running the earth, unless some centralized authority was gaining from the process. And so just like the Spaniards brought their ships back to Spain laden with gold, I would imagine that something is leaving our planet on its way to somewhere else on a regular basis. Otherwise, like, what's the point?
Like Mars or the moon or...
or wherever.
Yeah.
So I ask myself, well, what could be going? You know, there isn't an unlimited amount of gold here, so you certainly couldn't be, you know, transporting that for the last 500,000 years and still expect to find, you know, just as much as before. But it dawned on me one time that the most plausible thing to export would be the humans themselves.
Yeah, that's going on too.
Yeah.
That's going on too. And there's this underground reality that I mentioned. And you and I have done a number of shows on that. And, the denials that these places exist. I mean, they built one in West Virginia, and everybody found out about it, and they had to leave and build one in Northern Virginia. And they turned the one in West Virginia into a casino. We spent all that money, let's get our money back. Somehow. Everything is designed on this economic system, and it has collapsed already, despite what they say. They lie about everything, so we know it has collapsed. That's the general point of tonight's show, is that the system has collapsed. It has collapsed. It's not collapsing. It has collapsed. And, Jim, if you would, from a physics perspective, you know, we have these sayings, what goes up must come down. But we don't say what goes down must go up unless it's the stock market or something that has a monetary value attached to it. But in terms of the system collapsing, And I'm seeing a collapse of physicality in the way we know it. I'm seeing a transition taking place where I truly feel that there's an expansion occurring, and consciousness is part of that. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I'll tell you very honestly, it's long overdue. I mean, I've always hoped and prayed that there would be some event or some succession of events that would lead to an expansion of the general consciousness. Because I don't want to put my own planet down, but you have to admit there's an awful lot of individuals out there that are only slightly more bright than a carrot. And if we're ever going to get out of the situation that we're in, that has to change. Because the dumber the populace is, the easier they are to control. You know, what happened to all the free thinkers? What happened to the, you know, the people that have the real spirit of humanity driving them? Always seeking another pinnacle of achievement. We certainly don't have too many of them around.
They've all been murdered.
Yeah. So it tells you exactly what the overall the situation is. You know, when you have a large herd of animals in your care, usually the culling is directed at the very old, the infirm, injured animals, stuff like that. But in our society, the culling is of free-thinking people, intellectuals, and, you know, people that are trying to do what's right. Those are the ones that get eliminated.
Mm-hmm. The William, Wilhelm Reichs and the Teslas and the Schaubergers, et cetera, et cetera. There are many, many more. We keep bringing up those same names. But, you know,
I'm sure that goes on in every discipline, too. I mean, I'm just more familiar with the endeavors of people who have a scientific bent to them, but I'm sure that there are some people that are trying to do good things in other areas of human activity, you know, like the medical field or maybe even government, who knows. But, you know, take some of the examples of that that have been seen just recently. Look at the people who tried to run on an independent ticket so that they could forge a new path independently of the confines of Democrat or Republican. You didn't even know they were there. You know, everything gets squelched except what they want to put the spotlight on.
Mm-hmm. You know, this issue of housing, you know, real estate and the banking scandals that are going on, they're attempting to steal trillions of dollars. I've reported this on some past shows this week. They've been caught red-handed by altering one man's corporate documents in the state of Pennsylvania. They're trying to steal $6.2 trillion, which is intended to kickstart a new currency, a new economy here. And it's going to take it out of the control of the Federal Reserve and the U.S. Treasury for some time, because all they're doing is stealing money. And people are being put out on the street. No one is concerned about that, Jim. You know, if you think about the concept of telling everybody in a country that you're taking care of the people, and there are people living on the street by the millions. You don't see this in the media. They talk about, well, you know, the real estate market is depressed right now. Construction is down. It's always construction. It's never about people owning homes and living in homes. They're living out in tents. They're living out on the street begging. And what kind of society can allow that to happen to its people? Only one run by madmen, psychopaths, and criminals. And liars and pedophiles. That's the only kind of leadership that could allow that to occur anywhere on the planet. These are things that matter. You're talking about people's existence, their lives, and they give a damn about them. You know, I want to see people wake up. I know they are waking up. But they have to look at the whole picture and where they can take some responsibility for the way things are. I'm not trying to blame people for this. Certainly, I can find plenty of fault with the government. Anybody listening to this show can. So can you. This isn't about just railing against the government. We're talking about principles here. We're talking about life. We're talking about what the meaning for us being here is. The purpose for our being. And how that's going to play out if any of us survive to move on to some afterlife somewhere else. You know, these hivers exist. You know, a fly, they say, has a life of 2 or 3 days. And you've seen a fly get trapped in your house, can't get out, and eventually you find it lying dead somewhere on its back, legs curled up, you know. It has a limited amount of time. But while it's alive, it eats, it infects, it lays eggs, it lays larvae. It goes about its business, procreating and surviving and doing whatever it can to keep itself alive. And you know, cockroaches do the same thing too. And when you turn the lights on, they run. They must have learned that from politicians long time ago. Because politicians do the same thing. Or the politicians learn that from cockroaches. Or they are cockroaches. It's got to be one of the three. Maybe it's all three. You know, but I'm making a political statement there, and at the same time, I'm talking about the humanitarian existence that's currently the reality on this planet. You got kids being drugged and abducted and exposed to every lewd activity that these clowns can dream up. And then they want to put it in our face, like we don't respect our kids while they rape them or murder them. Or sacrifice them in their satanic rituals. I can't conceive that God would have created man with that ability to do that. He can be changed, you know. He can be mind brainwashed and mind controlled, or forced, or drugged. All the things that they do at Montauk certainly are a perfect example. You got millions of people walking around waiting for their cue, their code, to wreak havoc in this place. There's certainly enough havoc going on right now in chaos that most people probably wouldn't notice a little bit more, because everybody's so focused on what they have and worried about whether or not they're going to lose that without realizing really why they're here, what their purpose is.
Well, the other thing, too, that goes hand in hand with your last comment is that if they really were cognizant of their situation, they would realize that they don't own anything. It's all part of the illusion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you buy a car, that's signed over to the state government. You can't get an alloyal title to your home. The government has the right at any time whatsoever to mine minerals in your location. If that means tearing down your house, too bad. You know, if they're putting a new highway through, then they have the right of eminent domain. They can take, oh, these guys are in the way, too bad. offer them a few pittance for their homes, get them out of here. If you really owned those things, they couldn't do that. If you really owned your home and your other belongings, they couldn't charge you tax on it. Tax is just another form of rent. You know, nobody thinks about this stuff. So actually, nobody owns anything to begin with. It's all part of the illusion.
Yeah. Well, what do we do to see the illusion for what it is? Because, you know, you and I have talked about that, too.
Well, I'll tell you something. I read an article very recently. I don't think it was more than a week ago. And it was a fascinating one. As a matter of fact, I should have remembered to bring it. I would have read it on the air because it's not that long. But basically, what it says is that once a belief system is instilled in an individual, it doesn't matter how crummy it is or how bad it is or anything else, once it's embraced by the mind of that person, if you come along with something that's completely counter to that, even though it may indicate a way to a far better existence, they will choose what they know over what they don't know. And that very premise, or that very understanding, has become the basis of all mind control. Because they already know that tendency exists, and they amplify it and play into it. So that you're happy doing whatever you're doing simply because you're familiar with it. And that's the underlying principle that they make use of. Your comfort zone.
Yeah, if I revert back to this discussion I had about this collapse, okay, that it has occurred. What are we seeing? From our government here in the United States, we're seeing desperation, aren't we? You have Nazi P. Loosely saying, let's sign this bill, get this bill passed, and then they can read it. I played a song. I may end the show tonight with this, or would you like to hear some music now, Jim?
Is it cheery?
Oh, yeah, it's cheery, all right. this is a piece written by Michael Fisher. It's called The Great Reneger. And it's very appropriate to tonight's discussion because the people who voted for the short-legged Mac Daddy actually... Actually, we're told these things you're going to hear at the beginning of this piece. And the lyrics re-encapsulate all the promises that were made. And then I'd like you to comment. We're close to the end of our show, but bear with me, Jim. I think you'll really enjoy this music. And so will our new listeners. This is Michael Fisher singing The Great Reneger.
Broadcasting those negotiations on C-SPAN.
But these negotiations will be on C-SPAN.
It'll be on C-SPAN. It will be streaming over the net. We're going to do all these negotiations on C-SPAN.
We'll have the negotiations televised on C-SPAN.
It'll be televised on C-SPAN. I can't guarantee it'll be exciting, so not everybody's going to be watching.
But all this will be done on C-SPAN in front of the public.
Let me say it as simply as I can.
Transparency
and the rule of law will be the touchstones of this presidency.
Hey, have you heard? He's gone back on his word on the internet. There's a big long list of promises broken, so eloquently spoken. Wonder why so many millions are pissed, cause he's a great reneger, politician at heart, a politician practicing his art. He's a great reneger, he's a black or white, he's many shades of gray, far left from what's right.
Right.
I'll make our government open and transparent so that anyone can ensure that our business is the people's business. Sunlight is the greatest disinfectant. Meetings where laws are written will be more open to the public. No more secrecy. That's the commitment I make to you as president.
He'll tell you anything to get you on his side, like the change you can't believe in. Trust me, what I lie. We'll have transparency. C-SPAN, post bills on the net. There'll be no lobbyists, no pork. Have we seen it? He's a great green nagger, politician at heart. A politician practicing his art. He's a great green nagger, neither black or white. He's many shades of gray, far left from the strike.
When there's a bill that ends up on my desk as president, you, the public, will have 5 days to look online, find out what's in it before I sign it.
We will put government data online in universally accessible format.
We support and we try.
They've had votes in the night, behind closed doors. Senators bribed, no better than whores. Pushing their programs, refusing to hear. When the voice of the people is perfectly clear. Cause he's a great, he's nigger, politician at heart. A politician practicing his art. He's a great, he's nigger, either black or white. He's many shades of gray, far left from what's right.
The president will be to guide this process so that it's an honest process.
His skin's so thin, when scratched you can see the horrible sight that lies just beneath. An unseasoned novice lifted up in pride, but there's a fall coming soon. There'll be no place to hide. He's a great green nagger, politician at heart. A politician practicing his art. He's a great green nagger, neither black or white. He's many shades of gray, far left from what's right. Teleprompter in place, he can really talk that talk. Blowing smoke is cheap, but he don't walk the walk. What a politician hates is when you turn on the light. He'll run like a roach for the darkness of the night. Cause he's a great green nagger, politician at heart. A politician practicing his art.
I'll let citizens track federal grants, contracts, earmarks, and lobbying contracts. The reforms I'm proposing would not apply to those who are here illegally. Last week, the Supreme Court reversed a century of law that I believe will open the floodgates for special interests, including foreign corporations.
That didn't sit well with Justice Alito, who shook his head in disagreement and appeared to mouth the words, not true.
Ask questions in real time. Offer suggestions that will be reviewed before decisions are made.
Transparent and accountable to the American people.
Let me say it as simply as I can.
Transparency
and the rule of law will be the touchstones of this presidency.
There you go, the great Reneger. What do you think, Jim?
Well, some of it was a little bit garbled, but I'll tell you, the one thing I heard loud and clearly, which, of course, he reneged on, was the idea of any bill that was pending would be made available for the public to read on the Internet prior to his signing. Now, just imagine if they had really done that with 2,700 pages of gibberish that's now been signed into law on this health program. I think that you'd have a lot of irate individuals, even if they didn't read all of it. I got people sending me emails all the time about it, and they've only read little sections of it. And they said they can't find anything in there that has anything to do with the title that's on the bill. It's about everything but. So,
yes.
You know, the song probably carries a lot of weight.
It does. I'm going to have Michael Fisher on the show next Thursday, and he's actually pretty knowledgeable on a lot of different topics, too. He's obviously tuned into what's going on in the District of Criminals, and it's what we call it these days. What else can you call it? you know, the remark about transparency. Oh, they're transparent as all get out. I mean, we can see the corruption that's going on. Nobody's being fooled by that. That's paying attention. Anyone that has lost their home certainly knows about the corruption in the banking industry. And what gets me...
The irony of it is that the transparency issue was actually addressed by Basel II and Basel III, and our country has refused to sign or accept those terms for banking.
Yeah. And you have a corrupt world court and a corrupt bank for international settlements, and they're all being ruled by these private and secret societies. He makes a prediction in this speech that everything's going to become privatized, you know, because of legislation. And Lance Alito's shown on camera. That was a video that I actually played the audio from. He's shown, you can read his lips, simply, that's simply not true is what he said. Of course, you can't hear him say it, but they zoomed in on his face. You can read his lips. That's simply not true. And shaking his head. So, you know, that those are the lies that we're told in the campaigning. I'd already written the majority of my research by that time. I had already substantially exposed this guy for the fraud that he is. And some people paid attention. But now there's a lot of people that didn't pay attention that are wishing they had. And you still got your run-of-the-mill American sleepwalking. But this issue goes much, much deeper than politics and campaign promises. This issue has permeated the whole planet for thousands of years. And it's coming to a head now because it has collapsed. I think you can see that, Jim, in a sense. You may not feel it like I'm feeling it, but you see signs of it everywhere.
And well, not only that, I have people that keep me pretty informed, you know, and it's very obvious, at least it has been for me over the last 3 or 4 years that I've been following this more closely, you know, that there's a world war raging right now. It may not be done with cannons and bombs, but it's been being done with finance. And the system that was designed, you know, to perpetuate the wealth of the elite, so to speak, and the mechanisms behind producing that wealth, like the U.S. Treasury and the Federal Reserve and all that kind of stuff. I think that the way that was set up originally, it was never intended to run so long, because if you really have the foresight to look into the future, it's inevitable that it would be the source of its own demise. But I think what's happened in the interim is that it's like a big siphon or a big pump. It has removed so much wealth from so many countries and socked it away in different parts of the world so that these creeps could have, you know, the financial foundation necessary to take over everything. Imagine using our work and our labor to not only enslave the world, but to enrich themselves in the process. I mean, if that doesn't anger people, nothing's going to.
Yeah. Well said, Jim. We're out of time. I hate to end on that note, but we have to end on some note. So thanks for allowing me to play that song. That message sort of encapsulates everything we were talking about, except for the reptilians, of course. And I can assure you, based on what we've seen in video and photographs and the research that we've done, we're not dealing with human beings in terms of who's in charge of the planet. And actually, the people should be and can be. And the balance has shifted. It's moving in the opposite direction now. The pendulum is swinging upward. And I have a feeling it's going to be swinging upward for a long, long time. And these guys are going to have to find another hive somewhere else. That is, if they even last in that form and that reality. Because I think they have a much darker future than the one they've created right here. So I thank you.
All I can say is I hope you're right. Because it's been too long.
Well, keep your eyes and ears open. Keep us posted. You're going to be with us next Friday. We want to let the listeners know that. And also want to let them know that you and your associate, George Hillman, are actually helping people, offering to help people who have inventions that they want to bring to market. They need any help. They can contact you at Accurate Machine and Tool. Anyone can go to my sponsors page at directlightproductions.com, and the email and telephone information is there. Serious inquiries only, but there is no such thing as a dumb question, right, Jim?
I'll go along with that.
Okay. All right. I look forward to your visit next week. Have a great weekend, and I can't wait till our next chat.
Well, me neither. You take care, Don. Thank you for having me on.
Okay. My pleasure. Folks, that about does it for tonight. You've been listening to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com, also on Wind Talkers Radio Network and BlogTalkRadio.com. We want to thank those folks for carrying the show tonight. Special thanks to Seth Hendrick on the sound, Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, and most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Join us again next Monday evening when our special guest will be Dr. H. Watt. In the meantime, besides having a great weekend, I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.